You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. Today, I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Charlie Wyman. In January 2018, Charlie launched a training education business that helps business owners and consultants win more business and grow the value of their brand using LinkedIn and strategic networking. Before this, Charlie started and ran her own business of making and selling olive oil in Sardinia. She had no business plan, nor did she have a savings to fund the business. Today, Charlie is going to share with us how she did it all. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'd love to pick your brain today about how to use LinkedIn to brand your business, because a lot of us don't currently do it. We just use the other social media platforms.
Yeah, it's one of those platforms I think a lot of people have a few judgments and misconceptions about. And, you know, it really doesn't need to be. I think years and years ago, it used to be a bit of an, kind of old man's club, a sort of suited and booted place where you have to be very stern and very serious. Whereas now it's not like that at all.
Yeah, I even noticed now they had an explainer video that was animated. That's how like lighthearted they're trying to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to change the face of LinkedIn. Tell us, how can technical businesses become more visible using LinkedIn?
I think the main thing is to actually put yourself out there. A lot of businesses, especially technical businesses, generally kind of keep their head under the parapet, really. And yeah, so the first step really is just to be visible, actually put yourself out there and tell your audience who you are, who you serve, and what makes you special about it. A lot of businesses generally focus too much on promoting what it is that they're doing, you know, talking about the features of the product or what the service does, you know, going into too much detail about how it does, you know, with loads of call to actions in terms of, you know, that are very promotional heavy. Whereas now, the way that social media is moving, and especially on LinkedIn, it's all engagement focused. So it's a platform where you're encouraged to start conversations with your market, to engage with them in a discussion instead of telling them what they should be doing. You know, it's like bringing them into that conversation rather than just talking at them.
Yeah. And I find it using results oriented context versus the logistic, right? Saying as a result of what I do, these are the changes that people have noticed.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always talk about transformations and outcomes. So have a look at, you know, what are the outcomes that you're delivering for your clients, or like how do you transform their experience from where they are now to where they want to be? And, you know, talk more around that than, you know, sort of the detail about how you do that. Because a lot of businesses who are looking for solutions, they do so much research before they'll even contact a company or an individual to talk further, especially in the B2B world. We're moving away from that kind of direct sales approach. You know, people don't like being sold to. They like to be in control of the relationship. They like to be in control of the research and what it is that they're doing. So the more upfront you can be about how you help other people, the more visible you're going to be, and also the more authentic you're going to come across. And then as a result, you are going to win more of the leads and the opportunities.
Yeah. Well, you're outside. There's birds chirping in the back, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we're on lockdown here in the UK at the moment, and I'm very fortunate to have a garden. It's like sort of nearly 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's beautiful and sunny, and it's, I'm outside.
I got the background, the birds really is calming. It's very soothing. It's going to come off on the podcast, and I hope my listeners are ready for meditation.
Oh, you know what? Like, I'm all about adventure and all about the outdoors. I encourage everybody to get out as much as possible, because it's that, I don't know, it's that calming influence and the energy of being outside. And, you know, the last company that I worked for before I started working on my own, we used to have like kind of walking meetings. So, it, you know, instead of sitting at a desk, we used to kind of go out and walk and talk and figure things out. And I found that just being outside, being more grounded, it helps you think more creatively and actually get more stuff done too.
That is so, so cool, because Steve Jobs used to have working meetings. There are big companies that have working meetings. Instead of at the desk, they go for a walk around the campus or the company.
Yeah, there's something very limiting about being in a box in an office, you know, sat around a table, sat around a chair. So, you know, even if you can't get outside, I always encourage people to kind of have like stand-up meetings, keep them as brief as possible. You know, I have my own podcast and we did an episode with a leadership expert and we were talking quite a lot about stand-up meetings, walking meetings and things like that as well.
Yeah, we have to check this one out because I just invested into a stand-up desk. I just didn't want to sit in one. Yeah, and you get your steps to in.
You do. It's good.
Now, I know you specialize in business to business, you know, development and sales and marketing. And LinkedIn initially was geared towards individuals, right? You put a professional profile up and you connect with other professionals.
Yeah, it's another misconception about LinkedIn. A lot of people think that it's a place where you just kind of host your online CV and it's a recruitment platform, which I think originally that was always the goal for the platform. But if you look at it and change your mindset and think, well, okay, it's a networking platform, you know, you've got access to nearly 700 million people around the world. You can conduct quite detailed searches, even with the free version of LinkedIn. So you can go into very granular detail about who you're looking for, you know, who is your target audience, how to find them, how, you know, you can send them direct messages, you can communicate with them via content. And there's a lot of tools available on LinkedIn that you can use for free to get in front of your target market. So for me, it's a complete no-brainer. My background, yes, has all been in B2B business, you know, sort of sales, marketing, and leadership. And what I did was I actually set up I call it an accidental personal brand because I was focusing on marketing through the company pages at the time, but then also because you can't necessarily connect and communicate directly with people through your company page. Right. I was using my personal profile to connect and communicate with the people that I met at events and trade shows and, you know, people that I was talking to from a sales point of view and doing this through my personal profile. And then what I was doing was I kept hearing the same questions crop up over and over again. And, you know, for anybody listening that goes to trade shows or sponsors and exhibits and things like that, you do get the same questions come up all the time. And I was like, you know, instead of me constantly answering the same questions, why don't I just publish the answers on LinkedIn, but then do it on the company page and also on my personal profile? And then I started writing more articles and I started kind of going into a bit more detail. And if somebody came to me with a question that I couldn't answer, I went and found the answer and then published it, because the way that I look at things is that if somebody has the confidence to ask a question, even if it's the most basic of questions, then there are a huge amount of people that are asking the same thing, but just don't have the confidence to go and ask it in public. And especially in technical markets, you know, I've worked in, you know, the mining industry, surveying industry, shipping, you know, food, healthcare, sports, like loads of different industries. And some industries are kind of more introverted than not. So they like to do the research rather than go out and openly ask a question. So I just thought, you know what, let me try and help more people by answering these commonly asked questions and doing it through content. And what I found was that I was then seen to be a bit of an expert in that field, or not necessarily an expert because I didn't have the qualifications to back that up, but just somebody that was willing to find the answers and put them in front of people. So people kept coming to me for those answers. And yeah, it was one of those that built up over time. I started attracting quite a lot of inbound inquiries and a lot of inbound leads. And, you know, I think I found myself like I was generating more sales than anybody else in the company at the time. And then ended up in a sales role without really realizing it. So it really is a really powerful tool. And I think for any B2B company, whether it's a, you know, a one person company or like a one person consultant or a much larger company with lots of people in their teams, you know, you need an integrated marketing approach really to use the company page and the personal profiles alongside your overall marketing strategy. But then also at the most basic form, you know, when I set up my business, I think like I said in my bio, I had no plan, I had no budget, I had nothing. So for 12 months, all I used was my LinkedIn profile, my personal profile, and an email account. I didn't set up a website, I didn't do anything else. I only used LinkedIn and it was very, very effective to do. So it's just such a powerful tool for me. It's just a no-brainer. Everybody should be on LinkedIn and using it and leveraging it and, you know, getting all the opportunities.
Yeah, and then building on personal brands.
Exactly. I think I didn't realize what a personal brand was until I actually set up my business. And I was like, oh, so that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us how to empower employees to build personal brands to help grow the business.
Oh, so that one is something that I'm really keen on, because it's one of those that I think a lot of businesses reject because there's a lot of fear surrounding empowering employees to develop their own personal brands. A lot of companies ask the same questions to me, which is, you know, like, what if somebody leaves, you know, after developing a big personal brand, you know, they're essentially taking their contacts away from them. And, you know, we are living in a culture at the moment where, you know, employees will come and go, but buyers and individuals, even within businesses, they want to deal with people, individuals, not faceless companies. So by empowering your employees to confidently talk about the value that your company offers will give you so much more of a return on investment than sort of following traditional marketing methods where you're just putting out promotional materials and just talking at your market. Yeah. You know, you have the real opportunity to engage your market in meaningful connections with the people that work for you. So if you want to empower your employees, I think the first thing is, you know, to really make them realize what's in it for them to develop their own personal brand, because I think a lot of employees and companies don't realize what those benefits are. So that's always the first step, what's in it for me? And then also giving them the tools and the support in order to go out there and do that. Because, you know, I talk a lot about leveraging the assets that you have at your fingertips. And one of the biggest assets, biggest marketing assets that companies have is the knowledge, the skills and the experience that their staff hold. So if you can help them, like, leverage their knowledge, their skills and their experience in terms of content and conversational pieces on LinkedIn, then that's really where the magic starts to happen. That's where you start opening up those conversations. Individuals start growing their personal brands, which then positively reflects on the overall company brand.
Yeah, if you get company personal brand, sounds like getting buy-in from the individuals, the employees themselves.
Yeah, and you can't force it. I think I used to try and force it on other people. Again, I didn't really realize what I was doing at the time. And then I think it was a bit of mindset shift for me. And, like, you know, loyalty within our staff, the companies that I've worked for in the past, was a really big thing. And, you know, we weren't necessarily worried about the staff leaving. But what we did need to do was just to really position that what's in it for me, to make the staff want to do it, because it benefited them in terms of, you know, they were able to do their job better because they were able to generate more leads, they were able to sell more effectively. But then also it helped them really elevate their professional profile in the industry, so that if they ever did choose to leave, you know, they could do that confidently and they would be set up to succeed rather than set up to fail. And I think for businesses, they need to realize that you will come to a point where a member of your team, one of your employees, does want to leave. So you have that choice. Do you give them what they need in order to grow professionally? Or do you make that decision that it's of mutual benefit for them to go and develop themselves elsewhere? And I think it's that mutual respect that's required. And also that is that what's in it for me, because, you know, I used to work with people that had worked for the companies for, like, you know, sort of 10 to 20 years. They had no intention of leaving the company, but the brand recognition that we got as a result of those individuals was huge. And also that they liked the fact that they were positioned as experts within that industry. It helped give them credibility. It helped give them authority. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a win-win for everybody, really.
It gives them confidence, and that's all you need, you know?
Exactly.
I was thinking the other way is, you don't want an employee that is unhappy. You don't want somebody who is sour because, you know, they feel obligated to stay, and they don't, morale will, you know, affect the whole company.
Exactly. And I think it's one of those that, you know, if a company is not empowering its employees, then it also negatively reflects on the overall company, because then people start to think, okay, well, what have they got to hide? Why are they limiting their staff so much? Why are they capping what their staff can talk about publicly? Mm-hmm. Why are there all these rules in place? Because, you know, if it's an open community, you know, where there's a lot of respect between employer and employee, both directions, then, you know, that is really one of the most powerful ways of marketing for a company.
Yeah, I'm thinking about empowerment. One way that can be done is to autonomy.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to be policing your staff. You don't want to be telling them, you know, what they can and can't post. You want to give them that, you know, autonomy to be able to to go off and do that, because each person's perspective and each person's opinion and thoughts and feelings will be different and will represent the company in a slightly different way. And I think it goes back to that recruitment drive, is that, you know, if a company knows what their values are and they recruit people that share those values, then, you know, you shouldn't need to worry about people misrepresenting the company through the content, because as long as there's a values alignment there, then you're good to go.
Yeah, it really makes a world of a difference, because I have a team right now that are doing my digital marketing and they just run with it. But first, it was that vetting stage, right? When I did recruit them, I ensured them and to let them know what the core values were, what my mission was, and then they believed it and see it. And now, like, the content that they're producing is unbelievable. Like, I'm like, that couldn't have come any better from me.
Yes, exactly. That's the goal. That's the dream.
It's fantastic. Tell us briefly how to build and grow a network that will be your most valuable asset.
So I think the best thing, or the biggest thing around that, is to network with the people you're willing to communicate with. And by that, I mean, avoid strategies where, especially on LinkedIn, you're just connecting with people with no desire to communicate with them and essentially collecting connections. Mm-hmm. My advice and encouragement is always to look at the people that you want in your network and to actually communicate with them. Lead with how you can help them succeed. Don't always think about how they can help you succeed, because it's that, you know, that real power of reciprocity where, you know, if you can offer to help them, they're much more inclined to help you. And also it's a really good way of understanding what motivates them, if you know how you can help them. The other thing as well is, like, with your network, don't just look at connecting with future leads, future customers. You need a very well-rounded network in order for it to become a really valuable asset. And by that, you need a few different people in there. So I always recommend having a mix, and a mix of people such as your peers. So people that you can learn from, people that you respect, you know, people that have achieved what you want to achieve. Having people in your network that are your advocates. So people that know you, they like you, they trust you. And, you know, if they see a post or a comment or something like that when you're not there, they can tag you in it to refer you into that conversation. You know, people to introduce you to other people, especially acts as your referral partners. So it's good to have your advocates in your network. Acquaintances as well. Like, this was a big one for me, because I was always traveling the world, going to various different events and trade shows. And it was a case of, like, you know, if I met somebody at an event, I would connect with them, you know, remind them where we met, sort of started a conversation that we could continue, because especially in B2B selling, it's not a quick process. So, you know, a lot of the sales cycles do take, you know, months, sometimes over a year. I think I've worked on sales that have taken over 2 years to close.
Wow.
And you need to keep that conversation going, and it doesn't need to be forced. You know, you don't want to be that pain in the bum that's constantly ringing them up and chasing them. So yeah, communicate with the people that you're connecting with, and connect with those acquaintances, so people that you've met but you don't necessarily know very well, and then find ways to get to know them a bit better. So you want your peers, your advocates, your acquaintances. Obviously, you know, connect with your prospects, because that's how you get to know them better and understand them in more detail. But again, when you're connecting with people, go and have a look at their profile. Take that time to understand who they are, what are their motivations. You know, is there anything on there that you can relate to help you drive that conversation forward? So it's not just talking about business, because it's that marketing conversation about, you know, it's like the dating analogy. You wouldn't go and propose marriage on your first date. It's the same with sales and marketing. You wouldn't go and ask for the sale the first time you meet somebody. You'd find out, you know, who they are, what their goals are, what their challenges are, you know, get them to trust you, because also they're probably not going to be ready to buy from you right there and then. So you need to understand where they're at in that buying cycle. So yeah, looking at your prospects and also your existing customers. This is a big one that a lot of people miss. Your customers should be your biggest fans and your biggest advocates. So connect with them, you know, ask them for introductions, get them to talk about you, you know, in a positive way, get them to share stories about how you helped them do things. That's a really powerful driver, and it's a way of taking that word of mouth marketing and bringing it online and sharing it out to more people.
Yeah, referral is key. Any growth of the business, because you already got them, you know, they already want your product, they already want your stuff, and I've already have experienced you.
Exactly. And also, I mean, that to me is, you know, when you're looking at sales and marketing for any company, is like, have a look at what is your lifetime value of a customer. And a lot of companies just look at the lifetime value in terms of, right, okay, well, I can sell this and this to them over this many years. But if you have a look at that customer and just think, right, okay, who do they know? And, you know, how many customers could they refer into the business as well? And then consider that in your lifetime value. So it is a bit of a, you know, shot in the dark type of a figure, the type of metric, but it's worth thinking about, because some of your customers that bring you in the least amount of revenue could bring you in the most amount of new customers and referral customers. So, you know, it also helps you understand who you need to prioritize your time with too, from a customer service point of view.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just, the notion of it's a long process, right? It's a long term. You're in it for the long haul. We're talking about, you know, you say for business to business, it takes about a year to close a sale.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very impatient when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie, tell us, how do you get up, dress up and show up? Tell us about your morning routine.
My morning routine. So I'm not a morning person. You read all these books about, you know, the 4 a.m. club, the 5 a.m. club. And I used to have a very long commute. So I tried getting up at 5 a.m. for a year. I did it for a year. It was very painful. And now I have a small baby. So getting up in the morning is kind of more of a forced thing than a voluntary thing. So for me at the moment, my morning routine revolves around my son and making sure that he's all set. But I always tackle my sort of biggest problem first. And what I find for me personally is that I like to write in the morning. So I like to write key bits of content for LinkedIn. I like to write my blog posts, my articles and things like that. And once I've kind of got that big piece out of the way, then I'll look at I have a 20 minute a day sort of LinkedIn strategy, which involves kind of connect, communicate and build. So have a look at people that I want to connect with, you know, spend a bit of time looking at their profiles, then have a look at communicating with, you know, either because you can communicate both ways, like via the direct messenger and also via content through engaging with the content that they produce or comments that they're doing. So spending that time communicating with people. And then the build piece is, you know, you're building your reputation. You do that through your own content. You're building your network by connecting with more people. And, you know, you're building that reputation as well by generating those referrals, those recommendations, and that social proof by creating that community of fans and advocates. And it's a bit of an ecosystem. And when I say a 20 minute per day strategy is have a look at those tasks that you need to do, set yourself a timer. And I'm a huge advocate for the Pomodoro technique. So 20 minute timer in the morning, and then just tackle one thing at a time. You know, obviously, if you have more time and your priority is to get clients, then spend more time than 20 minutes a day. But, you know, if you're consistent and you do something every day for 20 minutes over time, then that will snowball and, you know, you'll start making serious traction.
Oh, yeah. The beauty of time blocking. It's crucial. It's the best way to be productive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's difficult with a 7-month-old.
Thank you so much for sharing. Very insightful tips, Charlie. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
So the best way to connect with me is via LinkedIn. So just search for Charlie Wyman. So it's W-H-Y-M-A-N, like the question why and then man. connect with me on LinkedIn. And also check out my podcast. So I have my own podcast called The Curiosity Key. And it's on YouTube because I do it as it's video-based interviews. And it's also on my website, charliewyman.com/podcast. Those are the two best ways to connect with me.
Fantastic. We'll put that on the show notes. Thank you so much, Charlie, for coming on the show today.
No problem at all. It was my pleasure.
Have a blessed day.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.